So, good morning, everybody. Can you hear me okay? Is the mic working all right? All right, great. And I have to just apologize ahead of time if my voice sounds a little scratchy. It was a wonderful night at our mental health section party, but we were out a little late. All right, so thank you all for coming. And also, I just want to say I'm really excited to be here since Chicago is my hometown. And so it's always nice to come back and present, where I live. Very, very fun week here with my family, too. So today I'm going to take you through a journey that we've had in the county of Santa Cruz. And I just want to let you know that I'm going to talk a little fast so I can kind of get through everything. And there is a lot of information on some of my slides. I did that purposely so that if you want to come back and look at the presentation, you'll have full information. Okay? But please feel free also to stop me during the presentation to ask any questions. So this is about a project that we're doing up in Santa Cruz. Our team is listed here. I'm the key evaluator, the SAMHSA CSAT evaluator. Nora Kranzler is our project director. Chris Hoagland is our clinical supervisor. And Andy Lanto is our statistician. I do not have any relationships to disclose. And I just want to continue a little bit with acknowledgments besides our core team. Certainly a thanks to SAMHSA CSAT, the County of Santa Cruz Health Services Agency, and all of the staff and steering committee and clients who have participated in this project, which is referred to as Project Home Base. So I have abbreviated that as PHB throughout the presentation. So today I'm going to take you through some of the grant components, give you a little overview of our goals, talk a little bit about our evaluation methods and our results. And really, I'd like to focus a lot on our lessons learned, and also give you a little bit of information on our project status and sustainability planning. So this was a grant that we started in September 2010. It's going through really the end of this year, but the data collection stopped in August of 2015. We are targeting 80 male and or female adult clients who have been chronically homeless and also have co-occurring mental health and substance use disorders. And also just to say a quick word about the co-occurring, a lot of our folks in the program also have other comorbidities from a physical point of view, so I don't want to not highlight that, but this is our basic target group. The evidence-based practice that we were going to be and have been implementing is the Integrated Dual Disorders Treatment, EBP, IDDT. Some of you may be aware years ago, it's over a decade now, that SAMHSA, Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, and MacArthur Foundation really put a push out to put out EBP toolkits in various areas. I was actually part of that effort, and so it's really kind of nice to be involved in this effort that's kind of bringing it into practice even 10 years later. So we are using the IDDT EBP. The IDDT EBP is designed for persons with co-occurring disorders, but I do want to just let you know that it's not designed specifically for persons who have been homeless. So you'll see as we go through some of the data and some of the caveats, as Keith mentioned about specialties about populations, I will be making a few comments about that. Okay, so as you would imagine with any SAMHSA CSAT grant, we have regular reporting and regular evaluation requirements. 9 biannual reports, 1 final report that takes into account outcome evaluations and also process evaluations where we really are measuring fidelity to the model. And SAMHSA actually has designated what most of those instruments were that we were to use, the GEPRA data collection tools. The General Organizational Index is a general measure of organizational preparedness in order to implement EBPs. The IDDT scale is also based on that work from long ago as to how to measure different components in organization as regards to being prepared to actually implement and roll out IDDT EBP. And then, of course, grantees were allowed to add some additional instruments, and we chose to use an oldie but goodie, the Mental Health Statistics Improvement Program, the MESIP, as it's commonly known, and also the Quality of Life Survey that typically goes along with that. We also have had a lot of support through the grant, a lot of database support that the SAMHSA has put together, definitely, regular calls with SAMHSA, webinars, project officers, and actually I should also say that the evaluation I'm presenting on here is about our project, but all of this is cast in a very national evaluation framework. So I'm not going to really talk about that today, but there is going to be a lot of that coming out over the next couple of years, and we've been very, honored to be part of all of that. So a little background on the Santa Cruz group. The program that we built was actually built on a strong history of collaboration in Santa Cruz that ran across homeless health, substance use and mental health providers in the county, and also the community of Santa Cruz itself. I don't know if any of you have been to Santa Cruz or have any affiliation with Santa Cruz, but it is a community that really does care about its community and especially its homeless and other vulnerable populations. So what the grant did was really provide the financial resources so that we could strengthen, our existing infrastructure, but then really, really be able to implement the IDDT components. One thing that's always been apparent in Santa Cruz and with the program that kind of came before this was there's no wrong door to outreach, engagement, referral, and access. A wonderful group of people in the staff and also in community who really talk with people on the streets. And who really try and bring people in and nurture them over time to, really get them housed. So the service delivery focus, follows along that general approach. Very welcoming. We are about housing first, very culturally sensitive, very much into stage of change as the general basis for working with individuals. Of course, you would expect very recovery oriented. Very much into having staff who are integrative, collaborative, and do really roll out a lot of case management. And like I said just a minute ago, we do a lot of outreach and service delivery in clients' homes and in their communities. So just a quick look at the different types of services that are provided. It is a Housing First program, but then the other components really have to do with providing integrated and comprehensive wraparound services that range from case management to group treatment to a whole range of interventions, medication administration and support, on-site primary care clinics and pharmacy support, and this next one I think is really important, pre-employment, employment, education, volunteering, skill building, benefits advocacy, money management, independent living skills, and really also encouraging folks to do a lot of self-help groups in the community. So we have three settings. We have a multi-service homeless health center. We have housing settings in the community and also, as I mentioned, service outreach in the community. There's actually a little campus up there in Santa Cruz where there's a shelter for families, then there's the housing for individuals, and then the clinic. So it's a nice little integrated campus, and then there are other components, other buildings throughout the county that are part of this program and part of the larger range of homeless programs in the county. And then there, of course, are a lot of community stakeholders and other providers that coordinate. So our core staff consists of a project director, a clinical supervisor, three case managers, a psychiatrist, nurse, and employment specialist. And what I do want to also stress a little bit is that our case managers have lived experience, and two are certified mental health substance use counselors. Our chief of clinics plays a very direct role, not just an overseeing role. Everybody's very much into working with us. We have a steering committee that ranges, for people who actually work within the county, and then, as we move forward, we're hoping to add a client and some other members of the community. Evaluator, I actually am a subcontractor through the California Institute of Behavioral Health Solutions. And then, as I mentioned, we have a lot of service community collaborators who help us really roll out a lot of our pre-employment volunteering and connections for self-help groups. So our 10 goals that we set out to accomplish within the 5 years, and they're listed up there in detail. We really wanted to decrease the number of days of our clients using alcohol or illegal drugs, really bring down to zero needle use with regards to drugs. We wanted to really decrease and really bring down to zero the number of unprotected sexual contacts. We wanted to really house everybody, and we definitely wanted to decrease the number of arrests. I will tell you that the unprotected sexual contacts, the number of arrests, it's our small group of our clients. So, while we do, of course, present those results, it's not an over, focus of the project. So I just want to make that little caveat. Then we also were shooting for high ratings or high scores associated with measuring functioning, social connectedness, and the client statements about their care services and the care they received. And a lot of those items are connected to the MESA. Some of the items in the above category to decrease are connected to the GEPRA. And then we're wanting to hopefully achieve improvement in overall health status as self-reported by clients, and also that they're participating in employment, school, or job training and doing some volunteering. So our general approaches then to evaluation, first, of course, we had to get the clients recruited in and do, a whole screening process that was, very familiar to, our team, and actually had been kind of established already within community. So the referral, process actually went pretty smoothly. We did want to really put together, a very important continuous quality improvement focus. And we did that not just with regards to the program, but also with regards to data collection and evaluation. I already mentioned that, we definitely were doing subcontracting, with, the organization that I work for. And the one thing, though, that really I think was an important part for everybody who was a grantee, and there were about 26 grantees in this grant, big mix of people who were either working for larger health systems or larger nonprofits or even hospital systems. And then there were groups that were, organizations that had evaluation going all the time, so they'd established systems. We were in the group where we had to start with evaluation and actually setting up our systems and coordinating with what was going on in county IT and with SAMHSA and then ourselves. So we had, not just, a program infrastructure to build, but also, how are we going to quickly put together data entry programming and analysis infrastructure to work for us. And that actually worked really, really well. That's some of the lessons learned I'm going to get to at the end. But just to say, we were in that other group of, really a lot of infrastructure building going on immediately. We did have four evaluation questions. A lot of what I would present to you today hits on the first one, which was what was the effect of the intervention on participants. The others we are going to be working on over the next few months to be able to do some more kind of multi-variable data analysis. So just to give you a little idea who our clients were, 70% male, 58% white, mean age around 46 years. Our education spanned 40% high school, 30% some college or vocational school, 30% less than high school, 5% were veterans, 50% had two children on average. And then the mean dollar monthly income ranged between $732 at intake and $795 at 12 months. The project actually, since it does go over the course of 5 years, we do the GEPRAs and the MESIPs every 6 months. SAMHSA was only requiring baseline 6 months and 12 months, but we are going beyond that. So the GOI, which is the General Organizational Index that measures, we've got 5 minutes, I better talk real fast. Okay, this particular instrument measures, as I mentioned before, organizational functioning. And what the good news is that at June 2015, which was our final score, we actually were scoring 54.5 out of 60, so that puts us close to really implementing 100% of the components that support a strong organizational basis for implementing the IDDT EBP. This is some information you can go back to kind of show our progress, through all the different components. The other scale, the IDDT scale, 14 domains of organizational functioning with regards to specific implementation of IDDT implementation. Good news there too, in June 2015, 63.75 out of 70 score, meaning that we've executed the IDDT components with good implementation, which is the highest category rating. So we're ending up the project really having gone through an evolution of really being, keeping fidelity to the model. Okay. And so just to let you know, the goals that I had, presented in probably five slides previous, we're fully meeting 7 of those 10 goals, and we're partially meeting 5 of the 10 goals. And some of the goals, that kind of fall under that partial meeting category are so because a number of the goals have several components. But the good news is everything is really going in the right direction. Clients are feeling like they really did get a lot out of the program. And the big kicker here is that everybody is, fully housed. So I'm actually going to move through this because we do only have a few minutes. And I want to get to the lessons learned because that's largely what this presentation is supposed to bring to you. So because we all were new working together, we definitely need to set up working practices that really integrated outside evaluation into the PHB program. And so that we would kind of be, working as a core staff member. And so we definitely did that through, relationship building, through site visits, conference calls, and emails. We really created from the start a transparent and solution-oriented evaluation process. Evaluation was not a bad thing. People really enjoyed my coming up there. We really have all become really good colleagues, and that took some doing, though, to really kind of ratchet down some of that stigma and fear. So we really put together a very, very clear, transparent, and regular evaluation process and communication regarding evaluation results to help go into, the development of actually meeting all those components from the GOI and then the IDDT and other program, goals. So we definitely, also had a lot of shared values about the project focus, outcomes, and passion. And I think that's also very important when you're considering any evaluator. You want to kind of look for people who are like-minded. In my case, I used to be a provider. I've served a lot of roles, so this was kind of a natural role for me. The thing about, using all of these kinds of instruments that might not be necessarily designed for the homeless population is that we had to kind of say to ourselves, if 5 is the highest score on a lot of these, instrument components, is it really fair for us to think that we're going to get there based on our population? And so one example of that is that we decided that we weren't going to get to 5 with regards to family interventions because it really is unrealistic to expect that clients who have been chronically homeless and have co-occurring disorders will be able to maintain or reestablish family relationships or friend relationships consistently over time. So we kind of had to say, let's be realistic about what it is we're being evaluated on. So that's one thing to just keep in mind in terms of special population. The other important thing about evaluation was it was very important to integrate our quantitative and our qualitative data sources and also be sure that we could go back and forth between the SAMHSA systems and the systems that we set up so that we could meet both short and longer term monitoring and data analysis goals, that we could also get the most out of that so that we could keep fidelity to the IDDT EBP, and also that we definitely had the kind of results that we wanted to use to go into service delivery. The other thing is sometimes, with a lot of this new technology, you can kind of print out individual client profiling for doing a lot of this data collection. That was not part of this program, but our aggregate reporting of what was going on definitely allowed us to address service provision issues, and one of those was social connectedness. We were finding that in the beginning part of the project, clients really felt not very connected to even people that they identified as people who were in their circle. So we worked on that, and that's how some of those scores increased, but it really wasn't about getting the score, it was about helping our clients. So I think the general thing to say is that really when you're applying evaluation to all aspects of program implementation and sustainability planning, it really has to become accepted and valued, and it has to be part of regular kinds of meetings, regular kinds of discussions, and that wasn't on the goal for SAMHSA, but that was the goal that we really tried to achieve, and I think we did it well. Just to give you an idea of where we are, We did get a no-cost extension that's granted through the 31st of January in 2016. We are going to be, of course, you know, working on all our data collection and transitioning our clients through that time. Sustainability planning, as you can imagine, with all kinds of, you know, wonderful grant projects, demonstration projects that I'm sure you all have been involved in. We are going smaller for sustainability. We're going to have a smaller core team of one clinical supervisor, two case managers instead of three. And then the rest of the services are going to have to be linked in through the regular county kind of services. And so the case management part is actually going to become even more important. Definitely going to keep fidelity to the IDDT values and components. And also, there's a lot going on, you know, as I mentioned, in Santa Cruz regarding homelessness. And so we really have to be, you know, at the table there talking about all of the countywide efforts going on and to see how we can kind of pool resources. We may even need to take on some other clients or send some of our clients, you know, to some of those other efforts. And so really, you know, the name of the game, case management, coordination, shared values, and you know, really everybody sharing the same passion, whether it's evaluation, program planning, or, you know, having just that one person sitting in front of you.
So just we have 5 minutes for questions.
Can you talk a little bit about the money management report? Because I know that's not a typical, that's not usually on the IDDT fidelity item, but I do think that's a huge problem that a lot of people with substance abuse experience. It's usually a mediator between substance abuse and homelessness because alcohol and drugs cost money, and they eat up the money that's used for rent, and so people end up becoming homeless.
Absolutely, and that is really true. So the question was, you know, can you talk a little bit more about the money management aspect that's not typically part of IDDT? And that is exactly right. That was additional types of services that our PHB team would be using to help, you know, all the clients do that kind of comprehensive management, you know, of all the services and all, you know, all of their needs. So that's something that the case managers actually were providing. And so they would be links about, you know, making sure that they were receiving their checks. If they needed paperwork to be done, they would, you know, definitely be, you know, assisted with that. The clients, I have to say, and the case managers and the integrated specialists, very, very close relationships. And part of that reason is because they really were using the stage of change model, you know, meeting the client where the client is. And, you know, the whole thing about people actually being able to be housed was also, you know, part of that money management issue. You know, they have to have their checks in order to, you know, keep that going. So it really was a regular part of case management. Yes?
How do we decide the N of 80?
That was done during the proposal process, and that was, you know, really a coordinated effort of how many clients could this program handle, and, you know, also looking at the funding parameters for this particular grant. So it was really based on, you know, what could be done well and effectively.
Could I ask a question?
Oh, sure.
So you talked about fidelity a fair amount.
Yes.
And I was just curious, actually, kind of the logistics of how you assessed fidelity.
Okay. So, being the evaluator, I would do two site visits a year, and SAMHSA actually provided a lot of materials for you to follow, so that actually we're kind of doing fidelity to the whole project, so everybody's kind of using, you know, similar materials. So I would go there, and we would be going through interviews. I'd be observing groups, meeting with clients, meeting with the range of staff. SAMHSA had their interview questions, you know, semi-structured interview questions that I would use, so that we would have, you know, similar comparisons between, you know, one site visit versus another. The GOI and the IDDT scales were designated by SAMHSA. And so there were certain questions that were associated with each one of those components. And so I would be doing the questioning of those components with particular people or with particular clients. I also would be actually reviewing the charts because some of that, you know, had to do with treatment planning component. So it was a pretty comprehensive, you know, check on, you know, how every aspect of the program was going from either my being in there directly observing or looking at records and then also talking with people directly. So I used to write these, like, oh gosh, 45-page reports.
Maybe we'll move on to the next speaker.
Okay, thank you very much.